I got to thank Jeremy because he got it all tuned up here for me. I'm not the brightest on these computer things. So, good morning, everyone. Last Monday was a family day, long weekend, just a wonderful time to spend together with family. And I believe it was, probably at least 35 years ago when we were still back at the hall at Ossington that I remember our brother Phil Moat giving an exhortation on what I would call about family. And drawing attention to, you know, that we are brothers and sisters together. And that exhortation way back then, it had a real impact on me because it just seems that because of who Phil is, when he says it, it just carries weight. So that exhortation had a big impact on me. So we're going to talk this morning about the importance of family. And we're going to kind of start in a little bit of a funny place. I'm going to pose a philosophical question to you that has sparked debates and challenged the philosophers for the ages for a long time. So I'm going to, here's the question. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Because you can't have the chicken without an egg, but you can't have an egg without a chicken. So which came first? The chicken. Why? Because she laid the egg. Yep. Build on that. Which came first? The chicken is the right answer.
It was created in Genesis.
Perfect. Perfect. For you online that couldn't hear that, the answer is the chicken, because in the beginning, God created the chicken. Okay. So that's just it's a silly little example of how bringing a godly perspective to a question brings clarity and can lead us to the right answer through this godly perspective. Okay. So that's the answer. And now that you know that, you'll never forget it. Promise you that. Okay. So let's take that thinking. In the beginning, we know that God created everything. So here's the question. Did God create everything and then look at his creation and say, look at that. Oh, that's good. I can use that to reveal myself through that. Boy, isn't that lucky how that worked out? Or the other option is that God patterned creation after himself and his ways before he even started. Because I think over and over in scripture, we see these examples of how God uses natural things to explain spiritual things. I don't think that it's just lucky that the natural world was created that way. I think it was done with intent and with purpose and by design. Okay. And because we have these kinds of examples, right? And you know this one. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, that statement, it only makes sense because and it only has meaning to us because we can see, we know how high the heavens are, how much higher they are than the earth. We have that term of reference, and that's what gives a meaning to us because we can experience that. Here's another one from Isaiah again. For as the rain cometh down and the snow cometh down from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Again, This only has meaning because we know what it's like when the snow and the rain comes down. We can experience that. And we know that when the rain does not fall, what happens? The earth dries up, the grass withers, the crops fail, the cattle die, there's famine in the land, there's no water to quench thirst, and the people perish. But we know that when the rain does come, what happens? The earth is satisfied, the grass flourishes, the crops, they bring forth abundantly, and the harvest is rich. There's food to the eater and water to satisfy the thirsty. Because of all of that, the people prosper. That's what it's like when the natural rain comes. And we understand that because we can see it. And that's what God likens his word to. God gives us that term of reference to help us understand. It's the way in which he reveals himself to us through these natural things. So again, I just ask the question, is that just lucky that the natural creation works that way? I think we all agree, no, it's not luck. It's by design. And again, one more. The heaven, and look at these words. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It's worldwide. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their world words to the end of the world. It's amazing. God uses these natural creations to teach us of his ways and instruct us. Okay. So the point of all of that is simply this. If the natural physical creations can show us and teach us of God and his ways, should we not consider our natural families with this same kind of godly perspective as a vehicle to teach and instruct us of the ways of God and see perhaps the lessons of God in our natural families that instruct us about relationships and ultimately instruct us about ecclesial life? Jesus he's so good at this godly perspective, and he understands this godly perspective and the principles as it relates to family. Look at this one. Here is, we all know this, it's the Lord's Prayer. The disciples came and said, you know, teach us to pray. So this is Jesus's reply. The first relationship is to God himself. Understand that and appreciate that Jesus, he could have chosen any number of formal addresses to instruct us on how to approach God in prayer. But Jesus chooses to highlight this family relationship. He uses the word Father with the full weight and meaning that comes behind that word of Father. Everything that it represents. And Jesus, he didn't just say, Father, which are in heaven. He says, our Father. A unifying figure of family to which children belong. Our Father. Again, when Jesus was in the house and they were pressing him and his family wanted to see him, someone came and said, hey, your mother and brethren are outside, standing without, desiring to speak with thee. But Jesus answered and said unto him that told him, he said, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, which we could do right here this morning, and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." That's these are the ones that Jesus said are my family. That's what it takes to be counted as part of his family, those who do his Father's will. Last year, both my mom and my dad passed away. Dad in March, mom in December. And I think it's natural at times like that to stop and reflect and remember and give thanks for all the amazing blessings that family gives to each of us. You know, mom always counted that her greatest blessing was her family. It was her family that she was most proud of and loved the most. You know, because family tells us who we are, where we've come from, what our history is, what our roots are, who we belong to. Family was not just important to my mom and dad, but family is important to God too. These are the generations of Adam, from Adam to Seth to Noah. So Genesis 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam, from Seth down to Noah. Then, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Japheth, and it's listed there. And in verse 5, it says, "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, and in their nations." And here's the list of the sons of Ham in verse 6, carrying on down through. In verse 20, it sums this up and says, "These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations." And then it notes Shem and carries down through. And in verse 31, it says, "These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations." And I want to draw your attention to the last verse, verse 32 of Genesis 10, where it says this, "These are the families of the sons of Noah, in their generations, in their nations, and by these families were the nations divided in the earth after the flood." God is definitely interested in family. The families are his creation. Have you ever been struck by the fact that these terms that we use naturally in our families are the same terms that God uses? These are all scriptural terms. The question is, did God get these terms from us, or did we get these terms from God? I find it's really interesting that everyone in the world accepts and uses these terms, and yet so many fail to realize that they were given to us by God to teach us about him and his ways, and what a blessing family is. These are scriptural terms. These are scriptural references given to us by God's design. Our natural families, they're all about relationships, okay? Natural family unit exposes us by practical experience, living together. It exposes us to the full spectrum of all the different relationships that can happen between people. Within our natural families, we experience what it is to be born, to be a babe, to be a child, to be a son or a daughter, to be a brother or a sister, to grow, what it is to grow from a child into an adult, to be a bridegroom or a bride, to be a husband or a wife, to be a father or mother, an uncle or aunt, grandfather or grandmother. And as time goes by and in different circumstances, perhaps what it is to be an orphan and what it is to be fatherless or motherless, to be a widower. But wherever family calls home, family has neighbors. Neighbors which are, they're neighbors. They're not family. They're separate from family. Family is different. You know, the family relationship is different. They are not family. Family's different. The relationship is different. Now, that doesn't mean that neighbors are less. Not at all. It doesn't mean that they're not important, because they're just not family. They are of their own family, and they have all their family, and then we would be neighbors to them. Okay. I am of the Thompson family. I was born into it. And I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you're not of the Thompson family. Okay, I know you wish you were. Okay, you're not of the Thompson family, except for Barb. She is of the Thompson family, being married into it. She is now written in our family tree. Isn't that an interesting term? Where do we get that terminology from? I mean, they even make TV shows about tracing people's family trees back. It's important. Family's important. Okay? And but the point is simply, you're not part of the Thompson family. Just as I'm not part of the Pendyke family or the Mikulev family or the Carbasi family or Davies or Gents. Okay? I'm not part of your families. As far as I know, there's only three ways to become part of a family: by being born into a family, by being married into a family, or by being adopted into a family. And this is common knowledge to all peoples, okay? Everybody understands this. Everybody accepts this. It's even understood by governments. There's a legal process to become part of a family. Isn't it interesting that these are the same three ways that God speaks of to become part of his family? We are invited to be born again into the family of God by the waters of baptism into Christ by faith. We are invited to be espoused in marriage to Christ the bridegroom at his return in hope. We are invited to be adopted into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ according to the love of the Father. Faith, hope, and love. We see these things working in our natural families, and they teach us about God's family. With the passing of my mom and dad, we're in the process of receiving an inheritance. And I know that we don't talk about those things. But it's important. It's just real. I can tell you with all certainty that I really don't think my neighbor has any expectation or claim of receiving any part of my family's inheritance. It's reserved for family. It's a natural family inheritance. And no one questions it. No one expects any other arrangements. Everyone understands that that's just how it is done. And the inheritance is dispersed according to the last will and testament. It is a legal covenant promise of inheritance that comes into effect at the death of the testator. Isn't it interesting that we find these same principles and terminology in Scripture? Inheritance, according to a New Testament promise by the blood of Jesus Christ, a covenant promise of inheritance entered into by God himself with Abraham and his seed, inheritance for family by the death of Jesus Christ. That's how the natural family works. Everyone understands it, accepts it. Even then, the governing authorities approve it and legally enforce it and document it. And yet, if you take those principles that were people around the world are all familiar with, if you take those principles and put them in a religious context, sometimes now it seems as if those things are now controversial, they're exclusive, they sound restrictive, they speak of, you know, it seems unfair, it's not equal, and it's unjust. Doesn't make sense. The truth is that the gospel message of the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ is it's a family matter. The family of God according to promise. Remember this from Genesis 10. These are the families of the sons of Noah and their generations and their nations. By these families were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Again, I'm of the Thompson family. You are of different families. No one would say that we're all the same family. We're divided in our natural families. As we sit here today, we're separate units. The world is divided, divided by their separate families, divided in their generations, in their separate nations. Herein is the wisdom of God revealed. How does one take all these divisions of families and generations and nations and unite them together? God's doing it by uniting divisions into one family. One family in Jesus Christ. Reconciling all natural families into one family. Here's in Matthew. This is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay. It's important to note that this book of generation, this family tree here, of all the names that are listed in that. Sorry, you can't really read it. I just took a picture of my Bible. I didn't write them all out. That of all the names that are listed there, at the beginning it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, David the king, and Abraham. And the list starts at Abraham and moves forward to Jesus. This is from Luke, the generations of Jesus in Luke. And it starts at Jesus and it goes backwards. Backwards down through David to Abraham. It goes down from Solomon to David to Judah to Jacob to Isaac to Abraham, back to Shem to Noah to Seth to Adam, the first man. It's an incredible record that shows the natural family generation from Adam to Jesus. This is the family that God wants everyone with ears to hear and eyes to see to become part of. The obvious and fair question, an important question, is why? Why this family? What makes this family different? Why this family? And really, the answer is very simple. Because God made promises to this family. And by making promises to this family, all families on the earth can be blessed through it. This morning, we give honor and glory and praise to God our Father through Jesus Christ, who we remember now. And as we sit here today, we're no more the Thompson family, the Pendykes, the Micholevs, and so on, separate and divided. We are one family because of one man that made it all possible according to our Father's plan and purpose from the very beginning. Let us remember that we were all Gentiles in the flesh, in our natural families. We were separate from this family. Sorry, I missed a slide. Let us give thanks that it's been revealed that Gentiles can now be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel. Being born again, adopted into, and espoused in marriage to this family of promise, with, and we have the amazing privilege to be able to call God our Father. And we are all counted as brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, family. Those aren't just titles. That means something. We're like this. And it's not just us here. At the end of service, we're going to be coming forward and saying hi to our brothers and sisters in Turkey. They are our family. We're all family together. And it's important. The gospel message is written in our families. Family is important to God.